Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I am joined by Casey Bubba at BDMtrick on the Twitter. Casey, what's going on?
Not much, my friend. The beautiful Saturday is upon us and just living life and trying to stay healthy and getting more and more excited because there's essential sports being named. There's new schedules coming out for other sports. There's optimism in the world, and that's all I can say. I'm gonna start the hour rosy, happy, and I'll be angry in the next 5 minutes, I promise.
Well, let me break that up in the next 15 seconds for you. So we got, and the Welsh and I were talking about this on the Thursday show, about Jay Glazer and his big, important, breaking news that he had. And, you know, the Welsh at first was like, could they move the draft? And I'm like, they're not moving the draft, dude. Like, that's in a week. So that's not going to happen. He's like, no, you're right. What could it be? Is it a signing or something? Is it? I'm like, I don't know. We just have to wait to hear what it is. And it was that Brian Allen, the backup center for the Rams, had COVID-19 and has since recovered. That was his urgent breaking. I'm not kidding. I have huge news for you. Breaking news. So, Bubba, how mad should we be about that?
Furious. Absolutely furious. Because in a time when, how many times have we talked about, Boggs, where we just want sports to kind of give us something positive to do and think about? And when Jay Glazer usually has breaking news, it's like a Woj bomb in basketball. It's like, right. Sweet, here we go. This is going to be awesome. Someone's getting traded. Dak's getting paid. Who knows what's happening? You know, there was the rumors that OBJ stuff, all kinds of goofy stuff yesterday. I know I was on and off the phone most of the day, and I'd be checking in. Okay, when's this news dropping? When's this news? And then he quote tweet stuff. It's not this. It's not this. So you're getting excited about it. Like, what could possibly be going on? Did Gettleman finally get a proper setup to do the draft? Unlike the pictures we've seen. Like, what was it possibly? Heck, he could be talking MMA. He could be talking his military with MMA people. So many things. We're talking the backup center has COVID and has recovered. Not that he's on a ventilator and dying. And again, I don't wish that on someone.
Of
but
course
like,
not. Yeah.
He's recovered. And it was a couple of days before it felt like that we already had news that like three people in the Chargers system front office had it and all these other things. So what on God's green earth made this urgent breaking news?
I don't know. I guess because this is the first guy within football to get this news. But I tell you, what are the kids calling it, Bubba? Are they saying ratioed when you have way more comments than you – which one is it? Is it you have more comments than you have likes or whatever
like
it
that,
is?
Yeah. The kids on the street are saying he got ratioed when there's more comments than the likes, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if he got all the way ratioed, but I mean – It ain't good. So he tweeted this out, breaking first active NFL player to test positive for the coronavirus, Rams center Brian Allen. And that was in the comments under this are just, once again, as the kids would say, fire. So
people are woke on the streets.
Yeah. There are so many people that are mad. And I like this. This one says Jerry Jones, yacht captain. And it's the awkward old smiley guy holding up a sign. And it said, they finna drag you. So
oh, no.
This one says, you're canceled. Let's see. I stayed up late to hear the news, and now I may oversleep and get fired from my job tomorrow. Thanks, Jay. This is news, all caps. You're joking, right? This was the big news. There's many a meme of people putting on clown masks, unfollowed. You're a joke, Jay. That's the breaking news that had to wait. Here's what you are getting, the ratio treatment. So, and then I like this one, just a nice person, you know. Get well quick, Brian. He's already recovered. He's already recovered. It's over for him.
Hey,
it's
hey,
done
hey.
With.
Let's not make fun of the fact that most of these Americans can't read a proper tweet. Okay, that's a different story. Like that's some of our fan base probably. Let's just realize that's how it's gonna go. But I think what's really fun is you look at like I'm a big GIF fan online,
of course.
And there's one of Stephen A. Smith with the Joker mask, and I think that's just phenomenal. Yeah, there's the draggy ones, very very good. There's some that's just flat out. Is this the F you're talking about? That's good. There's a Schitt's Creek one that I hope he's okay. ... That's pretty funny. there's so many good ones. Like really, I'm gonna start doing the Jay Glazer now because you know he's got 1.1 million followers. My like 9,000. I'm just gonna tweet out and go, I have breaking news later today, and every day I take a dump, I'm going to tweet it out.
You got to give out the consistency report is behind a paywall, though.
Yeah.
Like,
did I have Taco Bell last night or not? That's the guess.
I saw who was it? It was I think it was Chris Evans or Chris Pratt or somebody talking about Taco Bell. They were like, yeah, I had to give it up for Avengers, and I got to tell you, I'm not sad about it. He was like, yeah, I had to give it up, and it tastes great. But he's like, every single day I ate it, I had a stomachache. Every single day. So, you know, I mean, look, what has the count been in the United States? Something like 600,000 people have gotten this, you know. Yep. So one NFL person getting it, that breaking news, I just don't know. I just don't know, Jay. You know.
Like, You have Carl Anthony Towns' mother passed away a couple days before, and we're going to tweet about a guy that has recovered from COVID-19.
Like, I'm glad he recovered, obviously.
Yeah,
if you're
no
going to get it, that's, you know, it's good news that you've had it and it's over with. But come on, man. Like,
let's be real. We never got a breaking news tweet from Wojciechowski or any of these guys when Magic magically recovered from AIDS.
Right,
so
right.
Why are we getting this from COVID-19?
Right, exactly. So
South Park did better justice to Magic Johnson than Jay Glazer did to this guy.
They made a whole episode about it. All you have to do is inject all your cash straight into your bloodstream.
So simple, kids.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know, man. Jay Glazer and his reporting, sometimes it's been goofy. You know, I always think that maybe he thinks it's more important than everyone else does because it's his job, right? I think a lot of people, you know, and it's kind of when I watch Clerks for the first time, I kind of put down the importance of, you know, what I was doing at my work. You know, I'm not saving babies, right? I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a heart surgeon. I'm not helping cure cancer. I'm not doing really important research. I'm doing, you know, at that point I was working at a restaurant, so I'm handing stone people pizzas, you know what I mean? So it's important that I do my job correctly, but you know, putting the urgency and the weight of the world on your job when it's reporting news about the NFL, you know, look, there's a difference between professionalism, right, and putting the weight of the world on your shoulders. If you've ever met anyone who's worked at a grocery store, and they are important specifically now, but way back before this, I worked at a grocery store, and I was like, well, if I'm not here to do this, no one's going to do it, so I have to get it done. That was literally my thought process. I was also a much younger person. And
we were all naive at one point in time.
Not very worldly. And I think that you can see some people get into their 40s and 50s and kind of still think that way. And there were plenty of people, you know, I just looked at being a, you know, young, you know, 21-year-old dude working at a grocery store, seeing this 50-year-old guy with the same attitude I have and going, man, this guy hasn't grown up at all. Like, he hasn't realized it, that the weight of the world is not on your shoulders to stack beans on a shelf, right? So it's a job that anyone can do. So I don't know. And I'm not trying to be insulting toward whatever your job is. And I'm not trying to tell you to not be professional, because you can have the attitude of, hey, look, if I don't stack all of the, you know, all of the water on the shelf, no one's going to die because of that. You know what I mean? So the healthcare workers, right, especially in the current time that we are in right now, those are the people whose jobs really, really matter.
Big time.
You know, those are the ones that, and also in everyday life, once this is recovered in a decade from now, I'm going to have the same attitude towards the health workers. When, you know, when the hospitals are emptied out, they're still very, very important. And people working the drive through at Taco Bell, you know, anyone can do that job. Not that you should do your job well, but
let's be clear, though. Let's be clear, though. Anyone can, but you've gone through the lines and I've gone through the lines. There's some that
not
really
everybody
need
does.
To.
Yeah.
Yes. Some that, you know, when I have to go back and I have to pull around and park in front and go back inside, that's never a good thing.
Infuriating. You know what I hate? And this is who better to talk about drive through etiquette than two guys that are not skinny?
Exactly.
What I hate, it makes me so mad every time I see it, is when the person pulls away from the window, then they realize something is screwed up and they stop. So I can't pull up to the window. What are you going to do, guy? You can't back
up. So funny you mentioned that. So right now, you know, it's drive-through only, basically.
Yes.
And so we're out of town doing something a couple days ago, and we needed to eat. So we went to the Habit Burger because it's like a little better than normal fast food, but not right. much. It's pretty much fast food.
Because you're not
food.
A savage. Yes.
Well, because I was with my wife. Otherwise, I would want to Taco Bell. But
I went to McDonald's yesterday. So,
we went to the Habit Burger, and literally – I'm behind this guy, another truck, and he pulls like three quarters of the way up and just slams on the brakes. And I pull up as close as I can, and the window's just out of reach. Oh. And I'm sitting here going, you've got to be kidding me.
Listen,
right now.
You animal. Pull all the way around. You're going to have to go through the line again. You can't back up. It's not a possibility here. Stop doing that nonsense. I hate it. I hate it. You know, if you're going to pull up and then look in your bag because you're trying to be nice, then pull all the way up, way past the window, so the other car, whoever's behind you, can get in there.
Drive through etiquette, people. This is really simple stuff. Like, it should be a part of the DMV test to get your license. Drive through etiquette.
You know, like, you've had a lot of great ideas in your life, Bubba, but this one might be the one. This may have to be the last thing that you do. It's like doing the parallel parking or the 3-point turn or whatever it is, going through the drive through and knowing the etiquette. You got to listen to if they say first or second window. Hopefully, you know, look, if there's a long ass line and you don't know what you want, pull the goddamn menu up on your phone. You
who goes
animal.
To a fast food place in the first place and doesn't know what's on the menu that they
skinny
want.
Like,
people.
Really? Skinny people that like have not gone to Jack in the Box before.
They're going between the three salad options on the menu where we're going for a double bacon Western cheeseburger.
Just
and a
order
large
number
fry.
Three and pull up, you animal.
Exactly.
What are you
Start
doing?
Yelling out your window. This is what you want. Trust me. Just do it.
I've done it. I've yelled at my window. Like I remember pulling up. This is a Jack in the Box line, and Jack in the Box in particular confuses stoners because you know. There's too many options, right? So you roll down the window and it's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, you know? When you're like that, you know, you want everything, but you don't have enough money to buy the entire or time to buy the entire menu. So you got to narrow it down. And I've seen these guys that are just like, whoa, you know, they all look like Keanu Reeves.
Well, it doesn't help that the Jack's like After Dark box is black with like purple stars and moons on
it. I got to mark it. Damn it, Bubba. But
it only took me how many episodes?
That's your second one, to be fair. It's okay. It's all right. Not like I'm keeping count, but.
Yeah, you know. Not at all. What I miss about Jack in the Box is when I was a kid, you used to be able to go get jalapeno poppers and mini chimichangas, and those were like the best things ever.
And they're
for
like
some
$4.
So, oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, And speaking of those Jack boxes, the late night ones, I'm really bummed I can't order them during the day because the fat guy in me at lunchtime goes, that looks really, really good right now.
I don't I got to be honest. I think I've been to Jack in the Box during non-late night menu items maybe three times in the last year. And it's not like I haven't gone there a ton. I have. It's just like Jack in the Box is almost all locations, probably not all, but all the ones that I've been around are they're 24 hours, right? So it's kind of in that window of, look, I'm hungry. I'm clearly not cooking, you know. So am I sober enough, one, to get behind the wheel? That's like question number one you have to ask yourself. All right, yes, I am. And then number two, do I have it in me to drive down there and you know, deal with all the stuff, you know, deal with the line, because there's always a line. If it's past 11 o'clock, there's a line at Jack in the Box. There's at least three cars
all the time. It's like in and out at 11 a.m. and then Jack in the Box at 11 p.m.
100,000% easily. Always a line. Yep. But Jack in the Box is usually pretty solid at getting you in and out of the line. Whataburger, like, Whataburger is better, and I got to be honest, I'm a bit on a I haven't been to Whataburger in 2 months now. So the reason
didn't you
being,
say it's by the hospital, right?
Yeah, it's across the street from the hospital. Yeah. That's the my tough, local one.
Because I don't want to hear Jay Glazer break news that Scott Bogman, professional podcaster, tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, I've been avoiding anything close to, you know, our local hospital, like the plague, you know, like it actually is the plague. So I've been avoiding it because I just don't, you know, I know, and it's no one's fault, but people coming in and out of that hospital probably pretty hungry, and that's the first place across the street, whether it's, you know, nurses and doctors too. And I don't think they would blame me for avoiding that area. So anything in that neighborhood, which there's, you know, there's a Wendy's there too. There's a Popeyes, there's an IHOP, Jimmy John's, there's all kinds of good stuff down there. And I'm just like, Nope, I'm going on the other side of Scottsdale. So can't go in that direction right now. But, I mean, Jack in the Box is fairly quick at getting you what you want. Sometimes a little too fast, you know. I know Jim Gaffigan has that joke about Chinese food. You call and you're like, hey, I'll have it's already here. Look at that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Jack in the Box legit's that place that has like 40 taco shells already deep fried in oil for you. Like, it's already all ready to roll.
Yeah, you have to. And we're probably making people hungry here, so I apologize to everybody.
What about us?
Well, yeah, I'm getting hungry. You think I'm not going to Jack in the Box as soon as we're done? Come on. You have to, if you want some fresh tacos, you got to order them with like extra cheese or no lettuce or whatever. Like, otherwise, you're going to get, especially late at night, you're going to get those crusty tacos and been sitting around for a couple hours underneath a warmer. So
it's okay. Most people late at night have had enough to drink. They all taste great.
That's true. That's true. You know, and that's why they do it, is because they know their audience. I mean, those late night commercials don't usually start until 10 or 11 anyway, but we got to go to break. Trust me, we got way more to talk about than just fast food. I mean, I'm sure we could do an hour, but way more to talk about than just fast food. It's ITL on FNTSY. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why the fuck is it called
In This League?
Because who could be scared of it?
In This League.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In This League.
I just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. It's hour three. I'm here with Casey Bubba at BDN. For Casey, plug all the stuff you got going on.
All the stuff and things, Bench with Bubba. We are back in the football game. I had John Lobb on this past week to preview quarterbacks and running backs for the NFL draft. I'm not quite as good as Bogman, of course, but if you need a second dose of NFL draft action, go check that out because John Lobb brought the excitement like always. It did two baseball episodes this past week as well, so go check all that out. Other than that, most podcasts are kind of on the slow go these days. Obviously, we're still writing content over at RotoBaller. We got the Fantasy Black Book that I believe the rest of this week, 50% of all Black Book sales go to COVID-19 funds. Wow. So I highly recommend going to get your Black Book if you want to buy it for a gift for somebody or anybody else that'll help them get ready for the baseball season. I highly recommend doing it this time. It's for a great cause for helping COVID-19. Go check out Joe Bisapia's tweets or Facebook messages. He's talking all about it. So go buy the Black Book.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I was screaming DeShone Kizer, by the way, when you guys, you and John were like, who's the guy, the Notre Dame guy that...
I felt so dumb. It was like on the... Well, first off, thanks for listening.
Yeah, of
but
course.
Second, I literally, he's talking about it, and I could picture him and everything. And I'm like, I know exactly who he's talking about. Who the heck
it was
is
funny.
This?
I listen to a lot of podcasts like as I'm going to bed, and I was kind of in the twilight right then, and then I was like DeShone Kizer.
How do you fall asleep to John Lobb?
I was like, because I turned it way down. So I was like, DeShone Kizer. And then I woke up, I'm like, somebody say DeShone Kizer. Come on. You know, it was one of those where you know what it is, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're just screaming. And I know Spore's done that because the Welsh and I were like, who was that A's guy or that Angels guy, the third baseman who was like really highly touted and, you know, but he came up and he wasn't that good. And he's sitting there yelling, Dallas McPherson. It's Dallas McPherson. And then he texted us. He was like, I'm sitting in my living room screaming Dallas McPherson at you guys. So, you know, it happens to the best of us, but it was funny because I think I might have done the same thing like a week earlier, with DeShone Kizer, because when he said Brady Quinn, I was like, well, Brady Quinn is definitely one of the Notre Dame quarterbacks that came through and was not great with the Browns. Of course, you know,
we've seen the jerseys,
dude, for whatever reason, the quarterbacks that come in and are terrible, they beat the Steelers. Tim Tebow beat the Steelers in the playoffs. Brady Quinn, the reason I remember this so specifically is because the Steelers were great, and they were coming off a very, very nice season. Brady Quinn comes in on a Thursday night and beats the Steelers. It was in Cleveland. My buddy, who's a gigantic Steelers fan or a Browns fan, is in Iraq, and he emails me like 2 minutes after the game. Oh yeah, buddy, that just happened. And I was like, good Lord, they even know in Iraq that the Steelers lost? And Terrell Pryor, as a quarterback with the Raiders, beat the Steelers and had the longest, I think it might still be the longest QB touchdown run. It's like 93 yards when he ran, you know, an option play and Polamalu whiffed on the tackle. And, you know, Polamalu is a safety. So after that, it was just, you know, it's just a sprint to the end zone for Terrell Pryor. And I think after that year, he switched to wideout. So
yep.
Those crappy quarterbacks, we've lost to Mike Glennon, you know, in Pittsburgh. So if for whatever reason, the bad QBs, Derek Carr beat us. It wasn't really on him. It was three fumble returns for touchdowns. I believe that was.
Yeah, that's not a Derek Carr thing.
No, no, sure. But it was just, you know, Derek Carr has four completions of 4 of 24 for 2 picks and 28 yards, and the Texans win. You know, it's stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I don't know why I just drug that up. You know, probably just my terrible scarred memory. So
I was about to say, you really just don't like yourself, do you?
Well, I mean, I think everyone can tell by my body shape. So
hey, I like myself. I like a lot of myself, obviously.
Yeah. I just like food more. So that's the thing. But I tell you who doesn't like stuff, and it's Mike Trout. Yeah, Mike Trout doesn't like the Major League Baseball Arizona plan. And it's understandable to poke holes, I think. And I think for a guy like Mike Trout that, you know, his wife is pregnant. Well, I think this is going to be their first child. I could be incorrect, but either way, his wife is pregnant right now, and she's scheduled to give birth in the middle of the season. So the, you know, keeping everyone in a bubble for 3 straight months just doesn't sound very feasible to a lot of people. Now, the Welsh and Joe Pisapia on the Black Book, which has recently moved feed. So if you're listening to this and you're a Black Book fan and you're wondering where it's been, it has since moved feeds. Check out my Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Joe Pisapia 17, or at Is It the Welsh to find it. If you're still looking for the new one, it's going to take a couple days to go on iTunes and a couple of the other spots. I think iHeartRadio might take like up to a week, stuff like that.
It takes
so
a while.
Yeah, so we just have to resubmit it to a bunch of places. But the show is back. But they got into a bit of a heated exchange where they were going back and forth, and they kept saying the same stuff over and over. And I think there's a fairness to both sides of this argument for sure. But where do you stand on the Arizona baseball plan and some of these some of the players not really liking it, Bubba?
Well, I'm going to start out first saying that anybody that does like me and follows me, please forgive me. But I have a very, very big issue with Trout and Kershaw as well. Like, I get if you want to see the birth of your child and you don't want to be away from your family, that's fine. We talked about it on previous episodes. They're going to make sure – I don't see them keeping their people away from their family the entire time. There's going to be ways to make this work. It's all about the proper testing. But to come out and say these things right out the gate, it's very tough for me when Mike Trout's making over $30 million a year and Kershaw's making a ton of money, and then there's all these guys that are barely making anything at all, ready to rock and roll right now. It reminds me of people saying, let's say Bill Gates only gave $25 million and that wasn't enough. So it's okay to ask these guys, these billionaires, that they need to give more money, but these multimillionaires that we pay their contracts in theory by going to games, we can't expect them to go do something. We pay, you know, we talked grocery stores last segment. Grocery store people make minimum wage and they have to go to work, but we can't have a $36 million outfielder go play baseball, a game we all love. I start to have a little bit of an issue there, and I know it's going to rub people the wrong way, but the it's mainly only those type of people you hear, the really, really rich ones that have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a dicey subject for sure. I mean, there's no way to go about it because, you know, look, and this is what I said. I said, if Mike Trout is afraid, I think he just kind of needs to come out and say, hey, look, I'm afraid, you know.
Yes, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm afraid of this stuff because it's fair and it's easier. But if he says, you know, well, I don't really like it because I can't be around my family for 3 straight months, it's like, well, dude, come on. Like, you know, I understand that's rough, and no one wants to do that. No one wants to be away from their family for 3 straight months. It's not a desirable thing, but, you know, there's plenty of soldiers not making a ton of money that are in Iraq right now for a year. They're away from their family for a year. And once again, you know, they signed up for that. So, and this is not something that Major League Baseball
players. And so did baseball players.
Yeah, but not really.
Back to go to work.
But see, I think
if the grocery store person didn't show up to work, they'd be fired.
Right. And that's what I've said is I think there needs to be something. There needs to be something worked out between the MLB Players Association and MLB where, look, if you don't want to play this year, that's fine, but you're not going to get paid, and we're not going to tick a year off of your contract. I don't know that teams should be able to outright cancel that contract, but also you can leave it up to the teams. Say you have, you know, the Angels have Albert Pujols, and they would, you know, they would do anything to get out from under his contract because they overpaid him when they got him, and they knew they were going to be eating bad years of his. And that's kind of where they're at right now. If he doesn't want to show up to play, they can say, hey, look, we're not going to pay you, and we're going to take a year off this contract. I think that's fair. You know, you're not going to get paid, and a year is done. So I think there is a middle ground. I personally think it's kind of, I'm not going to say childish, but I just, for me, and also I don't have kids, so yeah. I'm from that, you don't have kids either, so we're sitting here from that perspective of, you know, if this was the situation for me, I would be okay with it. You know, if you're going to pay me X amount, you know, you could pay me like $10 more than I make a year right now to sit in a hotel for 3 months, and I would do it. So, you know,
that's the thing. It's like there's so many minor leaguers that'll go. So maybe it goes back to the scab idea I had. It's like, okay, play a season with replacement players.
Yeah.
I don't care. But you're not like Trout. If you want to stay home, cool. You're not getting paid.
Right.
I know who you can survive for a year without money. I'm pretty confident in that. At the same time, it's like if you aren't going to be there, you're not getting paid. That simple. And you're not getting years off of your whatever. I'm good for all that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I'm trying my best not to go do Postmates right now because they're saying that Arizona's going to peak within the next week or two. So I don't want to like get it, you know, and then have to go to the hospital during the peak time. So I'm trying to limit my exposure to everything I possibly can right now. I actually did leave from McDonald's like 3 days ago, but before that, and that was really, I went to McDonald's because it was my cousin's birthday to get him a gift card because he loves McDonald's for whatever reason. So, I mean, while I'm there, I'm not going to not get a meal. I mean, come on.
Obviously. He just shows up for a gift card.
You're not going to not get Randy Jackson's autograph. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still
especially on a samurai sword.
Right, really. Right. I would have done the exact same thing. other than that, I haven't left my house. Let's see. That was the 10th. So, but this month, I think I've left my house 3 times. So, and I've got the mask bit. I had to recall the company that sent me my mask because it smelled like an ashtray. So, I don't know what the deal with that was. They were like, yeah, we have these printers and they were singeing stuff. And I'm like, just send me new ones, you know. So they did. They sent me new ones, and these ones now smell like rubbing alcohol, which is fine, you know. Much better than smelling like, you know, the Marlboro Man's a-hole, which is what they smelled like. So
how do you know what the Marlboro Man's a-hole smells like?
I mean, sometimes you got to get up in there, Bubba, you know. So
okay, shooter.
But you know, I'm limiting my exposure. So look, I understand that people want to. They don't want to come here and they don't want to go to work, and that's fine. But like Bubba said, then you're not going to get paid. I mean, like I said, I don't want to call it childish, but I feel like maybe it's a bit childish, you know?
And it's like, I don't want to call them out. Like, I'm not trying to say they don't have the right to not do that and whatever. Like, if your feelings are what they are, sure. But don't be kind of trying to, you know, baseball can't happen because I'm not going to be there or all these different things. If you don't want to be there, that's fine. Don't be there. But that we're not going to stop. It's like, you know, if someone has a house party and it's like, well, I don't want to go tonight. I'm not going to go. That's fine. We're still going to party without you.
Right, so, right. You didn't like, ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
like, as much as we'd love to see Mike Trout, especially in 100 degrees in Arizona every day, hey, I'm still going to watch baseball if Mike Trout's not there. That simple.
And look, there's still, and we've admitted, there's still plenty of holes in this plan.
A ton.
How are you going to keep everyone sequestered away for a month, like, or for 3 months? As someone is not going to break protocol, like, are you sure?
Yep.
So, it may be something where you got to test these dudes every single day, you know. And if someone on a team gets it, then you have to shut down that whole hotel. I don't know if they're going to be doing different hotels, per team or different floors per team. And I don't know, it, like, what are they renting out? Are they renting out La Quintas? Are they renting out, you know, the Radisson? I don't know what they're doing. So, you know, if they have nice hotels rented out for a month and everyone has a villa, you can bring your family and no one really has to leave. That's fine. You know, but if you're staying at, the Holiday Inn, then everyone's going to go stir crazy because the internet sucks and there's nothing to do. So, you know, I mean, all of this depends on where they're staying, what's going to go on with the families. And I think a lot of guys are right. You're not going to be able to go 3 months without seeing your family, especially if you have small children and stuff like that. So give a guy a week off. You know,
They're going to be able to have their family with them. Like, they're not going to have these. If it's not safe for their family to be there, it's probably not safe for them to be playing and doing what they're doing anyways. Right. So I really don't foresee that happening because, like I've said all along, it's going to require testing. It's going to require the antibody tests, all that kind of stuff. They're going to make sure all these things are safe before it happens. They're already talking about opening up restaurants and all these other things, like maybe fewer tables and all these scenarios, but they're going to slowly start incorporating things. And the government's working with these sports teams to make this happen. Golf already came out with a new schedule. WWE is essential. There's so many things going on that when baseball is ready and when baseball happens, it's going to be because it's okay to make it happen.
And Dr. Fauci, the leader of the CDC, said
he's encouraging.
He said this plan is doable. So he said, I think what he said was test every week. But I also think that he's under the assumption that no one is going to leave to go do whatever. You know what I mean? So no one's going to leave to go get a better meal than the hotel food. No one's going to do any of that stuff, which, it's just not when you have that many people.
Not feasible.
Yeah, someone's going to be selfish and go break the rules. So which is completely understandable. But we got to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of these DraftKings bets for the draft. I mean, people are desperate for something to bet on. So we're going to take a look at that and see what we would bet on and what we wouldn't bet on. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. Endless love. You know what that means. It's the end of the 3 hours of In This League on the Sports Grid. Be sure you're following along with us. Is it the Welsh? Bogman Sports at BD Entrick, and check out the In This League Patreon, if you will. I'm going to be doing 3 straight days of streaming the NFL draft. I think I'm going to have the Welsh on Thursday. Not sure if P2P is going to make an appearance. I know that some of those days are rough for him because he's got his kids all day. But Bubba, I think I'm going to have on Friday as well. I just got to make sure that all my equipment works and all that stuff first. But I will be streaming all 3 days of the draft, and I will have rookie rankings immediately after the draft drawn up for you guys by the next day. I already have Dynasty rankings up on our Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy. The Welsh has minor league rankings, and he just started adding profiles. We have our shortened season fantasy baseball rankings up there as well. So all of that, plus we do secret shows that are all comedy-based, and there's a backlog of them so you guys can listen to all of them. Still, we're thinking about doing a bracket of the funniest ones. I mean, it's going to take some work to do. And I already know which one is the Welsh's favorite one, too. So that one is definitely going to get a one seed, but I'll have to go back and listen to some of them to do that. But we got all of those for you. So there's plenty of options for you. But, you know, the draft is coming up. People are desperate for stuff to bet on, and DraftKings is putting out a bunch of player props that you can bet on. And I love this very first one. Bubba, I'm not sure how much you love it anymore because it seems like every day, every single day, the Dolphins have done the most work on Justin Herbert. The Dolphins have done more work on Justin Herbert. One scout says that Herbert is definitely going over Tua, you know. And if that happens, I think we all know that the Dolphins are going to be the second team to take a QB. So the very first bet is Tua Tagovailoa draft special, and it's over 4.5, so he goes pick five to the Dolphins or later, or under 4.5, whether you know the Lions take him at 3 or the Dolphins or someone else were to trade up, you know, with the Lions or with the Giants at 4 to take him there. So over 4.5 is -225, under is +180. I think that under is a pretty decent bet though. So.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I would take the value on the under for sure, because I believe, like we talked about before, that if the Dolphins get Tua, which it seems like they really, really want to, I don't believe any of this Herbert stuff at all. I will. You're going to regret not having me on Thursday night if they draft Herbert. I'll tell you that much right now. But if it's Tua, I think they have to go up to 3 to get him. I've listened to you and others talk about it. It makes a lot of sense that they're going to have to trade up. They have the capital to do that. And I would take the value at 180. I would love for them to stay at 5 and take him and keep all those picks. But in order to get him and get the talent that is Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. There's no N in it, but that's how you say it. Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. You say it so well. I'll take the under just for that +180. I think it's a steal of a price tag.
Trust me. It took a lot of work. So
quite the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've called him Tua so many times. I still don't know how to say Albert O's last name. Like, I want to wait to hear him say it.
I want to hear the commissioner say it.
Well, dude, the commissioner butchered Marcus Mariota. So
exactly,
he called
he's
him.
Gonna, he's probably going to butcher C.D. Lamb.
He said Marcus Martioto or whatever it was, and then he
him
had
and
to like come
Palmeiro
out.
Are really good buddies.
I mean, didn't Palmeiro do something worse than steroids? Didn't he do something bad, or am I thinking of someone else?
You're probably thinking of someone else, unless you're talking about a porn stash through his entire life.
Well, he always had that. Yeah, that's not a new
that started thing. In college.
He definitely did. I find a couple of these interesting. I mean, I know not a lot of people want to talk about some of these offensive linemen, and that's fine by me. But Cole Kmet, over 44.5 is -182. Under 44.5 is +150. I think a lot of people think he's going to be the first tight end off the board, as this class is not great. He's another one that I think I would take the plus money on. Because I think Troutman is better than him, so I think that's the first tight end I would go with. I know he's from a smaller school in Dayton, but we've seen guys like Dallas Goedert play really, really well as a tight end coming out of a smaller school. I mean, what do you think of Cole Kmet potentially going 44.5?
I like the value as well, at +150, under 44.5. When it's one of those, it's kind of a dicey situation where you could see guys falling and whatnot. I'll take the plus money all day. Tight end's not like a great class, like as you were saying. There's no reason for these teams to reach, I don't think. I think they realize they can wait on Kmet or some other options even later on and see where it goes. And I wouldn't be going too high on Komet. So 150 seems pretty darn reasonable to me.
And that pick 44, it, right now, it's the Colts holding it.
Yeah,
so,
Jack Doyle replacement, maybe. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah, maybe just getting another weapon, you know, because T.Y. Hilton and nobody last year, you know, and Marlon Mack can catch the ball, but I don't know that he's the greatest out of the backfield. DeAndre Swift at 26.5 is an interesting one as well. That would be the Minnesota Vikings holding, your Miami Dolphins holding that 26 spot from Houston. So I like taking the under on that one as well, because I think that like the Dolphins could decide they like Jonathan Taylor. They could decide they like J.K. Dobbins. Even maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been talked about in that group as well. So I think I'd be taking the under in the plus 135 on that one as well.
Yeah, I'd be taking the under in a heartbeat there. Like, this is partly my bias, probably, but I want Jonathan Taylor. So just going to throw it out there. As a Dolphins fan and a Badger fan, give me Jonathan Taylor. The dude's amazing. I've seen a lot of CEH talk these days. He's been moving up boards. J.K. Dobbins is no slouch. I think it's such a toss-up between the big four or five running backs that it's totally going to be team preference. And I'd be taking a chance on a Jonathan Taylor. Like, I'd rather take the over 37.5 for minus 125 with Taylor and take the under on Swift and hope you hit both of those.
Now, see, I think this one has switched even since last night. Henry Ruggs, the third out of Alabama, his one is plus 100 for over 13.5, and now he's a minus 121 for under 13.5, because we've heard some rumors that the Jets are interested in Ruggs at 11, and now the Broncos, who have been in almost a, you know, it's almost a unanimous draft pick for them. It's obviously not, because so many people do mock drafts, but I've seen it by a bunch of the bigger names of them drafting Henry Ruggs at 15. And now, right before we start recording this, there's some rumors that the Broncos are trying to work out a deal with the Browns to move to that 10 spot, potentially to take a wide receiver. And since we've heard the rumors of the Jets potentially wanting Ruggs, and I think he had a meeting with them most recently, and it could be Lamb also. That's why this bet is not a for sure by any stretch of the imagination. But I like the under on Ruggs as well. I said it in my wide receiver show I put out on Thursday. I thought Ruggs was going to be the first wide receiver to go, but I thought he was going to go to the Niners at 13. Now, potentially, he could go even higher than that. So what do you think about that Ruggs bet?
So you want the over then?
I want the under, because I think he goes at 10.
Okay, gotcha. It's interesting because, like, he's under 13.5. You have Jerry Jeudy under 12.5, and both of the overs are plus money. It makes me almost want to take the two of those at plus money and hit one of them, or if both of them, see how it goes. You know the receivers much better than I do. If these guys are trading up, they're trading up to get a receiver. So you're 100% on board with that. And if that's the case, and you've seen the line movement, follow the line movement, folks. Usually it's a good thing. The under's probably pretty dead on, because they've talked about, you know, anywhere from 11 to 15, there's going to be a couple, at least two or three wide receivers potentially going off the board. And if these guys move up and people love Ruggs as much as they do, it makes a lot of sense to jump on a guy like Henry Ruggs. So I don't blame you on the under. I'll take the over just for the plus money, but what you're saying makes 100% of sense.
Yeah, and I just you know, Ruggs is a dude that got so much of a bump that he probably should have already been up there pre-combine, but running that 4.27 and being disappointed by running the 4.27 for him is kind of insane. And dude, his teammate Jaylen Waddle might run faster than him next year.
Waddle's a freak, and they barely used him this last year.
Right. So that's a dude that may pass him next year, and that's what I said in my wide receiver show. Is I think every year moving forward, we're gonna see best class ever, because there's so many more teams moving to a spread offense.
What's the kid's name from Georgia that blew up in the bowl game?
Pickens, George Pickens.
Oh man, he was amazing.
I think he might not be eligible for this year though. So
no, I think he was a true freshman last year. He's got a couple years to go.
Yeah, but Jamar Chase is probably the number one guy for next year out of LSU, right? So now these quarterback ones don't. I'm not like Eason, I'm taking the over 47.5 pretty easy. I know some teams really like him because he's built. You know, he's almost 6'5" with a rocket of an arm. But he got beat out by Jake Fromm at Georgia, went to Washington, and wasn't anything special there. So I'm not a Jacob Eason fan, really. Jake Fromm at 60.5, which is a weird number because him and Jalen Hurts have the same 60.5, and that is pick 60 is owned by the Ravens. So, I mean, they've got their quarterback for a while, so I don't really get that one. I guess maybe they're thinking someone can trade up to that spot because the Ravens are already pretty damn good. I don't know about Fromm. I think Hurts goes ahead of Fromm, so I would take the under on 60.5 for Fromm easy. I think he goes early in the second round. I think someone's going to take a risk on him there, but for Hurts. But Jake Fromm, I think I'm going to take the over. Do you have any? Do you like either one of those guys?
I love the Hurts one. I was wondering if you're going to bring him up. I think the price tag on Hurts, it's ridiculous. 60.5, like he's going to go in the second round. Yeah. I don't see how that happens. I know some people think he's not that great, but stealing some John Lobb from my show, he made a great point that, you know, it went Baker Mayfield, it went Kyler Murray, and everyone was so in love with those guys, and yet Jalen Hurts does the same thing, maybe not quite to the same level, but pretty darn close, and he's not a good quarterback.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He made it sound so simple when he explained it that way. I'm like, you know what? You're onto something here. Like, there's no reason why a team in the era of the way football's going now, looking for an athletic quarterback that can do a little bit of everything, they're going to want guys like this more. So that's why everyone loves Jordan, or not everyone, a lot of people like Jordan Love. It's more for his athletic ability, not so much about his accuracy, obviously.
Well,
there's little things like that. It's weird, but I'll take the under on Hurts for sure.
The Jordan Love is one of the hardest to evaluate in this class for me because he was so good his junior year. He probably should have come out, but he's so good his junior year. And then with the new coaching staff and a lot of new players last year, he took a huge step backwards. So, you know, we've seen the peak, and the peak is very good, but who is he? Is he more his senior year or is he more his junior year? It's kind of a tough call. So, you know, I get the love on you. Oh, God.
I
get the love for Jordan Love, but I don't think you can already see
the shirts getting made. Love for love.
Come on. But I wouldn't put the hopes and dreams of my franchise on his shoulders. You know, if I'm looking for a backup, you know, that's a good pick for Pittsburgh, you know, late in the second round. He ain't going to last till that spot. He's going to get picked way ahead of that, which I don't think he's on this list, Love.
Yeah,
so
he's over 19.5 minus 150, under 19.5 plus 123.
Oh, I didn't even
see him. I would take the over because I think he goes late first round if he goes in the first round at all. But it's tough because I've heard, you know, I think it was Carson Palmer's brother.
Jesse Palmer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's a quarterback guru or whatever. And he's worked with Jordan Love and he's flat out told him stuff like some teams really, really love him. Some don't. So it's either the teams are going to have to go up and get him or he's going to fall like crazy.
That's the Raiders pick too. So 19. So that makes a lot of sense to have him in that spot. So I like that one a lot. I don't know how I missed that one. I guess I just whiffed on it. I don't see it anywhere. But the 19.
Under Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I see it.
Jeudy and Ruggs.
Yeah. Okay. But for whatever reason on mine, it's between Fulton and Becton. So maybe I just have a different screen up, but yeah, I see it 19.5. I think I would take the under on him. I think that a team is going to, if it's not the Raiders taking him there, I think because when you're trading for a quarterback, generally you offer a ton, probably more than you should to get him, which is why everyone thought that the Saints were taking Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago when they wound up taking Marcus Davenport. And I like Marcus Davenport in that draft, but he has not panned out.
Could you imagine Lamar Jackson in that dome?
No.
My goodness.
I wish I could. I really wish I could, by the way.
Well, yeah, you would have to see twice a year.
As we're recording this, so sorry to give away the timeline, but just announced Von Miller, second guy with COVID-19. So
there's going to be so many of these guys with COVID-19 because so many of them never cared. Like they walk around like they're invisible. They don't care about getting diseases.
And there's plenty of people that are super careful and still get it. It's just exactly. It's very spreadable. So, but that is going to wrap it up for us today on In This League on the Sports Grid. So we'll be back on Monday, of course, the Welsh and I, and Bubba and I will be back on Tuesday. So stick with us. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Wash your hands. Don't be like Von Miller and Brian Kelly, whichever one it was. I can't even remember who it was that had the first case, but he's safe now anyway. But wash your hands, stay safe, and hopefully we're going to enjoy the draft next week. So take it easy, everybody. At Is It the Welsh, at Bogman Sports, at BD Entrick. We will see you next week.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.